This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Welcome to this session. Glad to see you all here. The session is entitled Great Leaders, Practical Pointers for Effective Leadership. We are privileged to have Stephen Gingrich with us today. He wears a lot of different hats in Guatemala. That's where he's from. So he's a pastor as well as school administrator, and he's also the field director of Jungle Breezes Youth Ministries. So he has a lot of experience in leadership, and he will testify to the importance of good leadership in our ministries. So I look forward to what he has to share with us. I'll turn the time over to you.
Blessings.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you all for coming this afternoon. They told me I was going to be talking to a lot of young people. I've been hearing in the last couple of days how just incredible talks about leadership, and so I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad that we have this subject before us. You've been looking at the verses, the command of Jesus, known as the Great Commission. And he told us to do things. He told us to go to all nations. And this is a missions conference, and this is where we need to keep coming back to. And we've heard about this today, and that's great. This command of Jesus calls for leaders, Christian leaders, and great leaders. And so we want to talk about that today. Like David mentioned, we're talking about practical pointers, and it's kind of funny that I'm at the front today because I have been away from a lot of the teaching and the sort of seminars on leadership, and I guess I'll just draw from the life of Jesus today. And before we continue, I'd like to just pause for a prayer. Dear God, we come before you this afternoon. We recognize you as our Heavenly Father and your Son, Jesus Christ, as our perfect model, our perfect example for leadership. And Lord, I just pray that you would direct this time and direct our thoughts continually toward you. Just pray that you would bless each one in their ministry and in their leadership as they're called to fulfill your mandate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And later on this afternoon, we're going to be hearing about servant leadership. That's where it starts, is serving. And any great leader today, you can go to, ask them their story, ask them their journey, and you will find that they started in serving. And they continue serving as they lead. And I'll just be right up front with you. I've made mistakes probably in all the areas that we're going to be talking about today. And with leadership comes responsibility. And with responsibility, we need to remember that there's always redemption. If we define a leader, I'd like to mention something someone told me in the last year. A leader is that person that gets blamed if anything goes wrong. And I would like to add, the leader then is also the one who deflects the glory to God when they don't go wrong. And I thought of the example in Scripture of David. David was a great leader, and he had men that were on side with him. His team grew to be 600 strong. And he made some mistakes. You remember the story how they came back to their homes. And while they had been off fighting the enemy, or they had gone to fight the enemy, they actually didn't end up fighting. And he had some tough decisions to make because it was against the Philistines and it was messy. And they got back to find their homes burned. And his men were ready to turn on him, and they were calling to kill David. And how he pushed through that, and how he inspired them to accept and worship and salvage and then rebuild. I had to think of the lines of a poem that has meant a lot to me in the last 20 years. The poem If by Rudyard Kipling. And I think any leader that's been in it for more than 5 years can relate to this. He says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't talk too good or look too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think but not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. So often we're success driven. So often we look at failure as weakness. But I've always said in every problem, there's an opportunity. And often the bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity. And we simply have to find it as leaders. Somebody else described a leader as the person that's like the sandwich. He's somewhere between the board and the people on the ground, and he gets pressure from both sides. I like that too. The pictures aren't showing up too well, and that's okay. They're just visual aids, and you're getting a little bit of a flavor for my teaching today. Lots of pictures, a little bit of writing. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, I'm going to assume that you're familiar with it. We're not going to take the time to go through and read it, but give it a read sometime in the next 24 hours. There's the teacher handing out homework already. There are some amazing things that I find in this parable, and I always pay attention when I'm reading in the scripture and I read the words, Jesus' words, saying the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like. I really pay attention to that because it's Jesus telling us what it's like where we can't see. And so often he uses these incredible comparisons for us to understand. And he uses this here. He says that in Matthew 25. And he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that's going to go to a far country. And he calls three servants. And he gives one 5 talents and one 2 talents and one talent. There's some incredible principles that I see in that parable. And we'll just go through them really quickly, and then we'll get into some practical pointers. But effort is needed to develop our talents. It takes effort on your part. God will do the 99%, but we have to do the 1%. He's looking for a partnership. And if there's something that just blows me away, it's that the Almighty God that made the entire universe, that made me, and that I couldn't exist without him, actually wants to partner with me. And he wants to do things through me, who makes so many mistakes. Effort is the best indicator of interest, often. As leaders, young leaders, old leaders, I would remind us that we are given what we need. And God has taken me to that point time and time again where it seems like I don't have enough. But we have, right around us, we have what we need. We are given what we need to complete the task that he's asked us to do. We are given talents according to our ability, and I wouldn't have the courage to put it up there if it wouldn't say it in the Bible, but that's what it says. We are given talents according to our ability. We are not given the same or the equal amount of talents And that's really important for us to remember as leaders. We just heard it. We don't have it all. Nobody has it all. And God made us that way on purpose, because then we would have to partner with other people. And we will be held accountable. We will be held accountable. Just like to read this verse, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." And I can't stress enough that concept of integrity, and we heard about it in the talks today. Any talk on leadership, it involves trust, integrity, and pureness, and a heart that's perfect toward God. I'd like to go into some practical points about leadership, and I would like to do an activity with you this afternoon. Okay, so I'll keep talking, but I want you to talk too. I have several practical pointers, things I've learned along the way in my work. And what I'd like to do this afternoon is look at them and then say, "Jesus did too." And then I'd like to have your help. Can we name at least one example or one time Jesus did that? One instance? Can you help me with that? Let's see if we can. So the first thing is cast a vision and inspire others. So as a leader, we need to have vision. Wayne Gretzky, a well-known Canadian hockey player, was asked one time how it was that he could score so many goals. And he said, "Well, I always try to skate to where the puck will be." If you skate to where the puck is, it's not there when you get there. You got to skate to where the puck will be. He said, another thing is I always count on two extra players on the ice. I've got the sideboards and I've got the goal post. And he was an expert at using the sideboards and the goal post. Those were not hindrances to him. Those were not boundaries or obstacles to be avoided. Rather, he had two extra players on the ice all the time. Cast vision and inspire others. I talked to an older man, older than me, and he told me how he, as a young man, in a ministry working as the BS boy, in a ministry that was chugging right along, wanted to get involved. But the director wouldn't allow it. He tried different times to get inside the leader's head, to understand the vision and what was going to take place later on. And it was just a wall. A couple of years later, he was serving with another mission in another ministry and developing himself as a leader. And his old boss, his old director, was dying of cancer and called him. And he told me, he had tears in his eyes. He said, "I can still see him reaching out over the rails of the bed, begging me to quit and follow on with the vision." And he said, I'm sorry, I'm already committed. You know, I wanted that 5 years ago. I wanted to share with you." And that ministry came to an end. And so it's so important that we include others. And I just want to thank God and the people who are helping me to learn that. And it's not easy. We need to focus on we and our and us. Now your turn. Did Jesus do this? Inspire? And did he cast a vision? Can you give me some examples where we can put our finger on it and we can say, yeah, that's what Jesus was doing there?
The harvest is great, but the laborers are few.
Yes. And he told us what to do. Pray. And expect workers. That's aha. We've never done this before. I think You know, if I would have been there as one of his disciples when he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, I would have corrected him and said, no, you're trying to say something else. Yes, anything else? Boy, that's more than one.
Bring the little children to me.
Let them come. Let the children come, because there's the kingdom of heaven. Well, great. Use young people. Young people bring so much energy to a work. Young people love a challenge. If we want to shortchange our young people, make it easy for them. They don't want it easy. They want a challenge. They want to reach for something they don't have yet. Their life is before them. And often they have incredible amounts of time. So use young people. Jesus did. Can you point to it? The five loaves and the two fishes. A little boy's lunch. That's all he needed. I thought of the disciples. You know, Jesus walked along the seashore and there was their dad. He didn't ask for their dad. He asked for them. I don't know how old they were. But they were probably younger than Jesus, because they kept going on for a bundle of years after he was gone. They were young.
18 to 23. Someone said that studied Jewish culture.
Okay. 18 to 23. Well, and that's why this is so good. Anybody else want to add anything to this one? It could be what Jesus did, or a thought that you have that impresses you, something you've learned. We've got a lot of men here that are a whole lot wiser than I am. Use people's gifts. So when you find young people, think about what they could be. Skate to where the puck will be. I met a man one time. I didn't know him. He went to the front of the classroom, because we were having a teacher's training event. Went up there with a group. He was 17 years old. And I thought to myself, now there's a teacher. I talked to him afterwards. I said, did you ever think of teaching? No. No, why would he teach? I said, well, I'm offering you a job. And today that man's a much better teacher than I am. I wish he'd be teaching this class. Jesus used people's gifts. We mentioned the five loaves. What else?
Thou art Peter upon this rock.
Yes, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. I would have been looking for a more stable rock myself. But Jesus saw in Peter that strength. Anything else? We can keep thinking about that. We should keep going on. I should read this poem yet. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Dorcas had a needle. Rahab had some string. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Mary had some ointment. And they all were used of God. And we can't repeat that too often. Every one of us, every single person has something to bring. And every one of us, God would like to use. Everybody on your team has something that you can't afford to do without. In using people's gifts, I was shocked to realize a couple of years ago, now you're going to see how dense I am, that there are people out there that actually enjoy doing paperwork. Can you believe that? There are people that like to balance the checkbook. They enjoy that. Isn't it wonderful to have a team? Train, model, and disciple. Jesus did too. We can probably come up with a bunch of them. But what would you like to mention?
washed his disciples' feet.
He washed his disciples' feet, and then he said, now do ye likewise. If I, your Lord and Master, have done this, you can do it too.
As the Father has sent me, so send I
you. Yes.
You have suffered like he did.
Yes. The whole doctrine of suffering. Yes. I thought of some of the last times we have a picture of him praying in the garden, and he's all alone, and he's asking his disciples, and after a while he goes back and he finds them sleeping, and after a while he says, just sleep on. But he modeled for them, he trained them. You can tell how far out, how remotely I grew up, just very recently. In the recent years, someone introduced me to leadership teams. And that is so powerful, where you can do things in teams, and you have leadership teams. And I've learned how that develops leadership. It just really, really helps develop that. Support those under you. We should encourage and equip and empower those people that are under us. I don't even really like the term, but I think you know what I mean. Those people that are working to accomplish the goal and maybe are just doing an aspect of it. If they're doing it well, tell them so. Encourage them. Jesus did too. How did Jesus support those people under him? I thought about him spending time with people. How he would pray. He kept up that prayer. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for each one of us. If you read in John 17, he supported the people that were working for him. And he continues. He promises to never leave or forsake us. And he'll be with us every day until the end of the earth, until the end of the age. This is a personal one. I was really moved by a book that I read on the five love languages and how different people see the world through different lenses and understand the things we do differently. And I would just encourage us as leaders to, you don't have to go with the five love languages, but look at people and relate to them in ways that they understand. And they understand you. I worked with a young man for a year, and we struggled to understand each other. I remember sitting across the table from him, and I said, like, what's your love language? Do you know? Oh, yeah, he said, it's quality time. And that's the one that gets me every time. I was developing, we were, you know, working on a new ministry, and we were starting things, and there were things to do and places to see and people to see and places to go. Wow. Communicate. I wonder if Jesus' voice ever got tired as he communicated. And you all know a whole lot more about communicating, I think, than I do. But communication, I find, is so important. Does anybody, can we mention a few times when Jesus just communicated so well? Nicodemus, late at night?
He looked at Peter after Peter's denial, and he communicated something there.
Yes, he did, with a single look. I think of all of his object lessons as well. And he wasn't scared to call sin by its name. There's another part to communication. We need to communicate, and then we need to know when to be quiet as well. Just be quiet and watch it. I look at the verse where Jesus said to his disciples, I have so many things to tell you, but you're just not ready for it. And that balance. Use local resources. Use the people around you. Use the local people. And in my experience and in my work, we're working with people in Guatemala, and it's just so important to use the people and the things that are there. Jesus did too. When are some instances where Jesus used something that was right there? He used the boat. Yes. He needed an option for preaching. He was getting pushed into the sea. Yes, very good. He filled up the pot, filled those pots with water, and he turned them into wine. Yes. Again, the loaves and the fishes. Yes. Good, thank you. Be sincere. Always being sincere to the values you believe in gains not only the support of friends, but also the respect of critics. And Jesus is our perfect example of sincerity. He was not afraid to make calm, very clear statements. When his disciples were discussing who's the greatest, he told them what we referenced today. The greatest will be the servant of all. When Peter made some big statements, he said, get behind me, Satan. Anything else you'd like to mention? Delegate. Learn to delegate. In my journey, I have had to think over and over again, now what are the things that I need to do and what are the things I can get somebody else to do? What are the things that just really, they need my attention, and the other things, you know, we'll let somebody else do it. But you know what's shocking and a little annoying is they often do it much better than I could. And again, we need to support them and let them develop their gifts. And I could point to example after example in my experience where I finally gave it up. And it's hard. I gave it up to somebody else and they did it so much better. Took it to the next level. Did Jesus delegate? Can you put your finger on some of those things?
Preparation for the Last Supper.
Okay, preparation for the Last Supper. Very good. Sending 70 workers out. Yes. Anything else? Use the power of prayer. Jesus exemplified this again for us so well. Like we heard this afternoon, Jesus would pray to his Father. He had that connection. And when he didn't have time other times, he would pray at night. He would pray all night sometimes. Listen to the people who aren't talking. That's one someone gave to me just recently. And it's a concept I'm still working on to understand, but I can see where I haven't. And so I just acknowledge that this afternoon. But there are people around you that can tell you things that you really need to know, and they're just not talking. They're not the loud ones, and so you don't hear them. And I got to thinking about this, and I realized that Jesus did too. Can you help me with that? When did Jesus listen to the people that weren't talking? Yes. The lady that touched his garment.
The woman at the well, I think he initiated the conversation.
Yes, the woman at the well.
Zacchaeus in the tree.
Yes. He saw Zacchaeus up there. He said, come down. I'm going to your house today.
Matthew. Called Matthew.
When he called Matthew. Sure. Very good. Something that we need to do as leaders. As leaders, we need to ask questions. So much of my beginning leadership was giving answers, finding solutions, and I realized that that's backwards. We need to ask questions. And Jesus did too. Think of all the questions he asked. Would you like to name a few? I thought about it, and to me, the classic is the rich young ruler. He was here to justify himself, and he was here to get off the hook and have Jesus tell him, you know, you're a really great guy. And Jesus just started asking questions, and got to the point. Plant ideas. So often, I want to see things happen quickly. But I heard in a session this afternoon, and it was really a great reminder. And here again, we're saying the same thing. Help people, let them think it was their idea. And it's amazing how often that happens. You say something, people absolutely don't agree with it. 3 weeks later, they're saying a version of the same thing. And if we can develop that and just say, you know, that's an incredible idea. That is wonderful. And encourage them. And they have buy-in and those things. Jesus did. Jesus planted ideas. Some of you may have read the book Ben-Hur. There's a line in there that I don't think I'll ever forget. Where it's, they're talking about an idea, and this is just how we do things, and this is how we think. And I think it's Masala that says to Ben-Hur, but you can fight an idea with a better idea. So we plant ideas of truth. When did Jesus do that?
With the woman at the well.
Yes.
He asked her about her husband or something.
Even with the water, I thought of that. You know how he said, "If you should be asking me for water." And piqued her curiosity. Anything else you'd like to mention? I thought of Simon, you know, judgmental Simon there. He's thinking, boy, if Jesus knew who that lady is that's touching his feet, he wouldn't allow her to do that. And he asked him a question, and he planted an idea. Lead people to the right answer. Help them find the right answer. And so often in situations, it's so easy to give an answer, to find the solution, or try to push what we think is the right answer. But we need to walk with people. And if they find the right answer, it is much, much easier for them to accept it and to go with it and grow with it. I would like to finish this afternoon with this warning by Jesus. And I think it's a warning that I would do well to read frequently. Jesus said, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Some very strong language. Some very clear communication. And as a leader, I think of those things. These are the verses that follow the verse that we started with, where Jesus says, he who is great among you, let him be the servant of all. He's the one that will serve. Jim Elliot said, rest in this. It is his business to lead, command, impel, send, or call it to call, or whatever you want to call it. It is your business to obey, to follow, move, respond, or what have you. I'd like to close with this thought. As leaders, we're called to follow the greatest leader of all. And that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important. We're followers of his. Are we willing to say to the people around us, follow me as I follow Christ? I look at that statement of Paul, and I just admire his courage to say that. Can I say that? Can I say, model me, follow me, take an example from me? I can only say that if I am closely following Christ. I would like to give you a chance. I feel like I'm young and I'm learning. What else would you like to comment? And if you have a comment, I think for everyone here, I should get you to stand up and speak up so that we can all hear. What would you like to add today? Some of you leaders that have led all your lives, what are some things that maybe I failed to mention? Well, thank you very much. I will turn the time back to my friend David.
This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.